This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The White House is trying to recover from a live news briefing held by Acting Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney. After admitting Trump withheld funding to Ukraine until they agreed to investigate the 2016 elections and telling reporters to get over it, hours later he began to backpedal. One of the many missteps the White House is trying to clean up this week, joining us with the news of the week, our political junkie Ken Rudin. Ken, what a week in our nation's capital.
Frank, the
Washington Nationals are going to the World Series.
Frank, I'm a Yankees fan, so I don't want to talk about that.
All right, then, let's talk about what else happened in Washington.
Well,
was there much?
Let me just say one thing. The Democratic debate was 3 days ago, and nobody's talking about
nobody
it anymore.
Cares.
It happened a month ago or 6 years ago.
Yeah.
It's incredible what's going on.
Let's talk about Mulvaney, because it's an incredible news conference, and when you actually listen to what he said, it's just striking to go back over that tape and hear that for about 3 or 4 minutes, he tells you why the president of the United States is against foreign aid in general, against lethal aid in particular. And when it comes to Ukraine, they are corrupt. Nobody else has given them lethal aid. No, 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 I'm not going to give them lethal aid. He spent 3 minutes explaining why the president was dead set against it and then said, but yeah, he mentioned that if you were to do an investigation, maybe I'd consider it.
Which kills the White House argument that there was no quid pro quo.
Right.
I mean, basically, Trump has said this has nothing to do with anything. Holding up the aid had nothing to do with investigating Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and political opponents of the president. And yet Mulvaney basically said exactly that this is exactly why aid to Ukraine was held up, because they want to make sure that they investigate unfounded charges about the Bidens. And then which not only gave the Democrats another argument for saying this is absolutely linked, and that's why we're having an impeachment inquiry. And then somebody obviously got to Mulvaney and said, wait a second, I think you said the wrong thing. And then he walked it back, but too late.
Yeah, well, it's actually a little more subtle than that, because, again, he spent about 3 minutes saying, no, the real reason is we're against it. And then we raised the possibility of this investigation and said we'll consider it. So we're all these moral of no, 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 except if you do something that will be of a political advantage to me, then I will reconsider. So it's like, well, I've got all these good reasons, and I've got a moral decision that I've made. But if you help me politically, I'll reconsider.
Well, that's like the Syria policy. President Trump says, no, I'm against endless wars. I promise I'm going to pull out all the troops, and I'm going to do that. So as he's pulling out all the troops in northern Syria, he sends 3,000 troops to Saudi Arabia. So what kind of a policy is that? What kind of consistency in foreign policy is that?
We're going to talk about Syria in a minute, but I want to talk about, again, all of this with regard to the impeachment hearings that are going on. Don't really center on Ukraine, but now, you know, will be part of this. How does all of this, or does it, affect the impeachment hearings?
Well, I think it does tremendously, and here's why. Because first of all, the president has said over and over again that the administration, will not cooperate with this impeachment inquiry because it's illegal, it's unconstitutional, it's a witch hunt. Rudy Giuliani has refused to turn over documents demanded by the investigators because he agrees with the president. And yet there are many, including a top former aide to Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, who have been testifying, who have been telling what they know about the contacts between Trump and the head of Ukraine. So while Mulvaney is doing his thing and trying to befuddle everybody else who's been watching it, there's been a steady drumbeat of witnesses constantly meeting and testifying behind closed doors. And so that it goes on. Ukraine and, of course, Syria adds to it. But basically, the impeachment started with the possible potential quid pro quo with Ukraine. And we have witnesses who are basically making that argument as well.
Yeah, and it's interesting who those witnesses are. They're career diplomats. They're people who are not particularly beholden to the president. So this is where the United States does, in some ways, distinguish itself from newer democracies that fall into dictatorship, which is something that's very, very much on the horizon in this country and very much up for debate. We can talk about whether or not we're on that threshold at this moment. The difference is the giant flywheel that is an institutional Washington, D.C., an institutional nation, both in our military and in our bureaucracy, that isn't having it. They're going to testify, and they don't care what the president says. That's fascinating to me.
Well, that also reminds me, I hate to go back to Watergate, but I think of Alexander Butterfield, who was not a partisan. I mean, he was not a Nixon partisan. He just happened to testify that, oh, by the way, Nixon has this taping system in the White House where he's recording all his conversations. And boom, that started the whole thing. So you just wonder, these people who are testifying, they don't have an axe to grind. They're not members of the DNC, and they're certainly not Trump loyalists. They're just interested in telling the truth. And it's nice to know that there are some people in this country who still feel that's the way to behave.
Let's talk about the loss of Congressman Elijah Cummings, represented Baltimore for those many years. He died this week after ongoing health issues.
Terrible, terrible loss. And not so much, I mean, everybody says, what does this mean for impeachment? Well, he was, you know, as chairman of the House Oversight Committee, he was offering subpoenas. He stood up the president, yes, completely. But he was the epitome of decency and integrity and civility. And even when, if you remember back earlier this year when Michael Cohen was testifying before his committee and there was a lot of rancorous debate, Cummings was just, you know, he was fair. He respected the Republican minority. He, a matter of fact, one of his best friends was Mark Walker on the committee. One of his best friends, so
Republican from North Carolina.
He's just a decent guy, and you know, he's had these health issues for a while. And, you know, he'll be replaced probably by Carolyn Maloney, congresswoman from the east side of Manhattan, as chairman of the chairperson of the House Oversight Committee. But there was just a decency and a goodness to him. And that's the real loss. I mean, the impeachment inquiry will go on, but there are so few people like Elijah Cummings, and it was a terrible loss.
We are talking to the political junkie today on The State of Things. Ken Rudin is here. Ken, also, he was outspoken on the subject of voter suppression, the ongoing efforts by the Republican Party nationally and certainly in the state of North Carolina, where he took on the lawsuit here, a successful lawsuit against North Carolina lawmakers, in one hearing saying this is not Russia. This is the United States. A passionate spokesman for voting rights, which he believes are being threatened once again by voter suppression efforts across the U.S.
And speaking of Russia, that's what's so funny, ironically funny, about this whole thing about Ukraine, because one of the reasons Trump is so obsessed with Ukraine is he's trying to make the argument that it was Ukraine who broke into the DNC server in 2016, not Russia. It was Ukraine who affected the 2016 election, not Russia. So when you talk about vote suppression and how the 2016 campaign and the election came to be, it's all part of the obsession that Trump has with Russia and trying to point fingers elsewhere, and that's part of the obsession with Ukraine.
In addition to the Nationals winning the pennant, the president pulled out of Syria, and that came as a big surprise and a shock.
Nothing to do with the first thing, of course.
Yeah, but that what a shock! And again, this is something that benefits the Russians enormously. It benefits Turkey enormously, and came as a big surprise to everybody and a shock, even to Republicans who are outspoken.
It's disbelief. It's the fact that whatever you think about, you know, who the good guys and the bad guys are, the fact is that the United States gave its word to the Kurds that it would protect them from, and the fact that the Kurds were working with the U.S. to round up ISIS. And basically, that policy has basically kept the peace in northern Syria for all these years. That piece of land that was carved out for the Kurds and protected by the United States, it kept the peace. And then Trump has this phone conversation with Erdogan, and immediately he says, okay, I've always been against endless wars, I'm pulling out. Great news for Turkey, great news for Assad of Syria, great news for Iran, because the U.S. troops are now going to be gone from Syria, and of course, great news for Russia, which is filling in the void. It is startling reversal of U.S. policy, And it tells the world that the United States cannot be trusted.
Well, that's what it does. And when you go to look for partners, both in the military and diplomatically, you don't have them anymore. You are risking your lives. The Kurds are risking their lives. Green Beret, absolutely outraged at having to sacrifice their friends who they had built this relationship with. And it does raise the question, if we do quid pro quo with Ukraine, what was going on behind the scenes with Putin and Trump and with Erdogan and Trump as well? You have to ask the question, because that's the kind of thing he does.
Well, that's definitely true. And the fact is, when obviously 11 days after this happened, the phone call, the president had to send Mike Pence and Mike Pompeo to clean up the mess. And of course, Pence says, well, we have great news, is this, we have a ceasefire. And Turkey said, there's no ceasefire at all. We've gotten all we wanted. This is just a temporary cessation of our bombardment. We're not stopping at all. So this is, I mean, it seems like everybody in the world is outraged except Tom Tillis. I mean, my God, I mean, even Lindsey Graham is up in arms about this. And Mitch McConnell, everybody in the Republican Party, seemingly two-thirds of the House Republicans voted to condemn the president's
including
policy.
Six Republicans from North Carolina. Go ahead.
But not Tom Tillis. He says, well, you know something, I think the president knows what he's doing. I'm going to leave it up to the president. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. It's so
well, Tillis is too little too late, right? I mean, he suffered from not help supporting the president on the executive order on the border. He got his career handed to him, and now he's suffering, and I think he's trying to regain some of that, don't you think?
Well, yes, because he has a Republican primary next May, and from a conservative, and that's why he's doing it. And it's interesting that Richard Burr, the chairman of the House and Senate Intelligence Committee from North Carolina, I mean, all he did was offer a statement. It wasn't that he stood up to Trump, but he did say that we should never abandon the Kurds. I mean, they fought with us. We should keep to our word. And
Ken,
that's basically what the position is of the Republican Party, except for
Ken,
the people who are...
Go Yankees.
Oh,
Ken Rudin,
sorry.
Political junkie. You're listening to him on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.